In the name of Jesus, amen. So today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Every year in the church calendar, we have this day right before Advent and getting ready for Christ who comes at Christmas. And we remember Christ who will come again at the end. In a way, right, every Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. Every Sunday we worship our center, Jesus Christ, our true light. He's our light, our friend, our brother, our Savior. But today, though, we focus on Jesus as Lord, Jesus who is Lord. If we go back in the early church, some way back, 2,000 years ago, when the New Testament was just being put down into words, Christians had it tough. Right now in movie theaters, there's the blockbuster Gladiator 2. From slave to warrior to gladiators, corrupt, narcissistic emperors, bread and circuses, it makes a good movie. But it wasn't a good reality for our ancestors in the faith. Ordinary Christians had to face a stark reality. It was a brutal world, a world where Caesar, the emperor, was Lord, who ruled by might and by fear. And into this time and into this place, this Roman Empire, into this fullness of time, as Scripture puts it, God sends His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, under this oppression of a woman, Mary, to a simple and poor Jewish family in out-of-the-way, oppressed Palestine. This Jesus, wrapped in swaddling cloths, nowhere to lay Him in the inn, is full of grace and truth. He does amazing wonders, healing, miracles, raising the dead. This Jesus, a rabbi who is sentenced to death on a cross, or cursed as the Old Testament puts it, the one who hangs on this tree by the Roman authorities for being a rebel. This Jesus who died on the cursed tree of human sin, who rises from the dead, who ascends into heaven, who promises to return. That's the context of those early Christians. This Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended Lord, the one the New Testament says holds all things together, this same Jesus to whom all authority, he says, in heaven and earth has been given to me, will return in glory and majesty and might. Wait for it! That's what Jesus tells his oppressed followers. I'm coming back. And the early Christians prayed, come, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer of the early Christians recorded at the end of the New Testament. It's prayer too for Christians ever since in Christ. But it's been a long time, hasn't it, since that New Testament was recorded for us. It's been a long time since Jesus has been away, ascended to heaven, promising to return. The early Christians found themselves waiting. I don't know about you, but most of us, if you're like me, we spend our time waiting. Waiting for the subway, which seems to get weird on weekends. Waiting in traffic. Waiting at the doctor. Waiting for a family member to hurry up already. Waiting for food at a slow-serving restaurant. Waiting. Waiting for bad news. News we can't avoid that turns the stomach. Waiting for good times. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Waiting for the one you love to return. Waiting and waiting and waiting. Sometimes waiting, right, makes us a little nervous. Sometimes it makes us sad. Sometimes it makes us happy. I think that kind of sums up the waiting of the New Testament. There's a simple message of the book of Jude in the New Testament. It's a very short book, a book of waiting, a book with a simple but sublime message. Wait for it, Jude promises. Here's the message. We heard it in our second reading. Wait for the mercy of Jesus. waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, the first and the last, in whom all things hold together, who is the same as we sang, as Hebrews says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This same Jesus gives us mercy yesterday, today, and forever. We have it in the present, in the Word, in the sacrament, in our hearts by faith. We have it. And this same Jesus leads to a bright future. Wait for it. A future of eternal life. Mercy now given in Jesus, mercy which endures forever, the gift of the reality of life with Him without end, in Jesus our Lord, our Savior, our friend. The mercy that leads to eternal life. That's what the early Christians waited for. That's the mercy received by our ancestors in the faith, in the death and the life of Jesus. Back in the tough and rough times of the Roman Empire, the early Christians waited not for political victory. They waited not for material comfort, not for business success. They waited for Jesus. The early Christians waited for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be more specific, as Jude puts it. This ancient book of Jude, which tells us to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus, leads to eternal life. It's written for our benefit, for our encouragement here and now. We testify, we confess in God's Word, the Scripture, that true power and success is not found in anywhere else, ultimately, but eternal life in Jesus Christ. Only and always Jesus the Lord, who gives mercy, who leads to enduring life. Everything else leads to dust. Only this leads to eternal life. Christ the King, Sunday, Jesus is Lord of it all. Today we look to Jesus as Lord and we wait for His mercy and His power to be fully revealed. Sometimes, right, waiting makes us nervous. Sometimes waiting makes us sad. Sometimes waiting makes us happy. And for all of that waiting, for better or worse, for richer or for poorer, for healthy times and in sickness, there's the simple but sublime message of Jude. And the early Christians kind of put it in the tough context for us. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And it's been a long time since that message. And there's been a lot of waiting and even giving up hope. But it's recorded for us. It's still there for us. Most of us who spend a lot of our time waiting. And our reading today from Jude also tells us this, not only to wait for that mercy, but the mercy extends, right? The next part of that passage. Wait for mercy and have mercy on those who doubt. Mercy on those who doubt and who overcome with impatience. With the impatience of waiting for mercy, the impatience of even standing firm in the faith. Have mercy on them especially. There's enough impatience and fear-mongering to go around. Jude knows this in his context. It speaks to us today. Have mercy on the impatient. Isn't this a time of year when everyone around us seems a little more rushed, a little more stressed, it just kind of picks up from here, a little more anxious? Have mercy, the Word of God tells us. Running around getting ready for Christmas, it seems the whole city moves faster and faster. And I suppose, right, we want to get Christmas and the holidays just right, to prepare and be ready. It's good to do that. It's good to have the opportunity to provide for that. Preparation, happiness, it is the birth of our Lord after all. But in all that waiting, right, for the birth of Jesus in our hearts again this year, in all of our preparations and our plans, we wait ultimately for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We have mercy. We are people of mercy, waiting for mercy, extending mercy on doubters and rushers and pushers and complainers. We have mercy because that's given to us. And that's what we stand in. And that's what we are led to in Jesus. Every Christmas, as Advent reminds us, is a run-up. It's a preparation. It's a waiting. A waiting again and getting ready for eternal life in Jesus. We will see Him face to face in glory and life everlasting. That's the promise of faith. It's our hope. We wait for it. We celebrate it. Eternal life in Jesus our Lord. That's the simple message of the book of Jude. It's a short book in the New Testament. It's often overlooked. But it ends with stirring words of power for all those who wait for the mercy of Jesus, who live in the mercy of Jesus, who extend the mercy of Jesus to doubters, who celebrate the mercy of Jesus that leads to eternal life. Jude writes, "To him who is able to keep from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great happiness, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be all glory and majesty, dominion and authority, before all time and forever. Amen."